you would like to follow along in your pew Bibles, I'm in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I'm doing verses 1 through 5. Now, I chose this part of Scripture as our church is in a transition. We're at the beginning of looking for a new minister, and the PCA does a pretty good job with checks and balances and making sure godly men are brought into the office of a teaching elder. But just because they may fit the PCA, they may not fit this particular church. And I just want you to keep that in mind, because we all have different personalities and different ways of presenting things. There are introverts, there are extroverts, there are mindful people, and then there are soulful people. All of them have been trained to preach the Word of God, but we also want to know that we have the right fit for this church. This is not directed just to the pulpit committee. This is directed to all of us. So I'm stepping on everybody's toes, or nobody's at all. Either way you want to look at it, I'm okay. But 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul is writing to Timothy, who was a young minister. And Paul, is in his letter, is trying to encourage Timothy. And he writes, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears that will accumulate for themselves teachers in suit of their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. But as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." This is the word of God. As Paul's telling Timothy, "Timothy, you're a young minister, you're a gifted minister, you're a skilled minister, you have been called to deliver the word of God, and there's never a time in your life where you need not to say, it's not necessary for me to do so." Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who died for us, and he will be the judge at the end times of the living and the dead, whenever that time is, he will be the judge, but you have a responsibility. God has given us his word, and your job is to deliver it. I would say to each of us, God has given us his word. It is our responsibility to share it. It's not everybody's comfort in life to stand in front of a group of people and talk to them. It's scary. But the wonderful thing is if God is behind you, you can't help but do it. And so Paul's saying, Timothy, always be prepared. Whether you're in the pulpit or in the community, whether you're in the church or whether you're with somebody who does not know the Lord, be prepared to preach, to share, to reprove, to rebuke, and to exhort. The Word of God is given to us for those reasons. Nobody walking this earth today is perfect. All of us need correction. Be prepared for it. Because there is going to be a time, I might would say now, that people will not endure sound teaching. They come to church not to hear the word of God, not to be confronted with their disobedience, not to worship our Savior. They come to church to get entertained. They come to church so that they feel good about themselves. And we see it more and more, or I do anyway. There are certain televangelists that make all kinds of promises that God has never promised. Health and wealth gospel. If God really loves you, you will prosper. If God really loves you, you can conquer the world. And when they're confronted, one in particular, I won't call his name, but he was confronted, "Why don't you like to talk about sin?" His response is, "These people know they're sinners. I don't need to remind them. Besides, if I talk about sin, they're going to quit coming. So I tell them what I think they need to hear." 2,000 years ago, Paul wrote this to Timothy. There are going to be people who have itching ears, and they don't care about anything but what makes them feel good about themselves. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with feeling good about yourself. But when that is your sole goal in life, is to be comforted no matter the circumstances that you're in, no matter the thoughts you have, no matter the actions you do, there's something wrong. Because God sent His Son to die because we have corrupt passions. Christ's passion was real. Christ's passion was to honor His Father who sent Him. But where we are in society even today, we don't want to hear the truth. The truth scares us. The truth isn't what we believe. And you know, you talk to people and they will say, "Well, there's your truth and there's my truth." And part of that is true. I can't tell you your life experiences. I can't tell you what got you where you are today. So there is some truth in your truth. But there's only one truth. And that's the Word of God. Do not listen to the world who tells you differently. What does the world have to gain? We've got another person who doesn't believe in God or doesn't believe the Word of God is true. Yay! We can still continue to say and do what we want to do. But you have a responsibility as a child of God. Seek His will. He purchased it for you through His Son, Jesus Christ. So we should seek His will. There were a couple of poets sitting down writing a song. Now, these two poets probably wouldn't be recognized as examples of good Christian living, but the words they have make sense. The two poets are Mick Jagger and Keith Richards. And they wrote these lyrics: "You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. But if you try sometime, you just might find you get what you need. So I ask you, what do you need?" The world today has got our wants and our needs so tied together, we can't recognize the difference between a want and a need. A need sustains life. A want makes that life more comfortable. But how often have we turned our wants into the idols that we must have at the cost of our needs? My formal training in biology way back when used to have this saying, all living organisms need three things, food, water, and shelter. Everything else is a bonus. Not exactly how they said it in the books, but that was a long time ago and I don't remember. But we the same thing. We, as God's creation, we need certain things. We need God. And God says, you got me. I'm here. But how special I'm going to make it for you, I'm going to give you my word so that I can reveal in my time my will to you, to each and every one of you. And it might come to you sooner than it comes to others. Because some of us are stubborn. And we don't want to submit to that will. But God says, here it is. It's written to you. It's true. It is the truth, not a truth. And we could often scratch our heads and say, you know, I read that. And I know it's God's word. Doesn't make sense to me right now. And that's okay. Because if we knew everything God had planned for us, I don't know if we'd be in worse shape or better. Because of our hearts. But we can say, God, I know it's your word. Help me to be true to it. The psalmist in Psalm 18 wrote this, this God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for those who take refuge in him. Now we in the New Testament, we look at the word of God as the written scripture, Old and New Testament, but also as John would put in his epilogue, in the beginning was the Word, Jesus Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We are to live a life that Christ demonstrated, not perfectly, because we can't. We're not equipped. Christ was. We are not. But we are to seek the truth. So as we're looking for this new minister, this new pastor, whoever's going to come to this church, we need to know their truth to the word. And again, the PCA does a real good job with checks and balances about getting those men right, their doctrines right and all that. So I'm not saying anything against the PCA. Please don't hear that. I'm talking about this church. Just because they're approved by the PCA, they may not be a fit. As Paul was doing his ministry, in the book of Acts, it's all about Paul's ministry, he went to this community called Berea. And he was preaching the word of God. And this is my challenge to you. Be Bereans. I'm going to be an American. That's how I like it. No, but in Berea, Paul went there, and he writes in Acts 17, he says, the brothers, talking about the Bereans, immediately seek Paul and Silas away by night, to Berea, where they arrive, and they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now, these Jews, the Bereans, were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily, what we should be doing. Eagerly seek the word of God. Examine scripture to see that these things were so, that the words coming out of the man's mouth or the men's mouths were in accordance with the teachings of God. Many of them therefore believed, with not a few Greek women of high standing also, well as men. Because Paul and Silas came in and they preached the truth. Jesus Christ crucified, died, resurrected, and is now sitting on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. These men could accept what Paul and Silas were teaching because they studied words. They studied the Word. They studied Scripture. They grew daily in their acknowledgement of God and what God has done for them and what God has given them in His Word. We need to be Bereans to build each other up as well as to strengthen God's church. Not just this church, but God's church. All who believe, to strengthen and to encourage people to understand a life with God is a lot better than a life without God. As Ricky talked about earlier, what profit a man could gain the whole world, but yet surrender his soul? That can't be done without knowing, loving, and honoring God in your daily walk. So as you consider the survey, as you consider the next person that's coming into this church, I challenge you, seek what you need, not what you want. Now, sometimes your wants and needs can go hand in hand, and that's fine. But if you have to choose a need over a want, choose the need. It's just good practice. But in all things, seek God. As Arthur in Proverbs writes in chapter 30, every word of God proves true. He is the shield to those who take refuge in Him. So not only will the Word of God guide you, the Word of God will protect you. Open your heart to hear God's command to you. The world fills you with all kinds of things. If you do this, you're going to be loved by thousands. And if you make more money, you're going to be respected by millions. And you know, all kinds of stuff. But how does that help you with your salvation? Nothing wrong with being popular. There's nothing wrong with being rich. Or I don't know that personally by either example. But there's nothing wrong with it. It's not what you have, it's what you do with it. Are you honoring God? That is our primary responsibility. Regardless of where we're at in life, are you honoring God? So my challenge to you, be Bereans. Stay in the Word of God. Seek God's will in His Word. Enjoy the idea of hearing God's Word and being reproved, rebuked, and exhorted. And if you can hear it faster than your brother and sister sitting beside you, as Paul writes to Timothy, do it with complete patience. It takes each one of us a certain time to get there. There are many educators in this room. How easy would school be if everybody got it the minute you left your mouth? Well, you probably wouldn't need a job at that point educating, because all you had to do was say it and move on. It takes longer for some people to grasp it. It takes longer for some people to let go of the world and trust God. I was teaching Sunday school a few weeks back. And I'm not trying to make this about me, but it kind of falls into this. I was teaching Sunday school, and the church I'm going to down there is a PCUSA Church. And their theology is a lot more liberal than my theology. I'll just put it that way. But the Sunday school teacher was out, and she asked me to teach. And we were teaching in Jeremiah. And we had a visitor that came to the Sunday school that day. He'd been going to the Episcopal Church, but they didn't have Sunday school. He says, I missed the fellowship of coming to Sunday school, so I wanted to come here and sit in Sunday school class. And I gave my lesson. And that was weeks ago, so I've already forgot what it was about. I know it was in Jeremiah. And he left, and 3 weeks later, he came back. And after Sunday school, he pulled me to the side and says, Tim, I just want to thank you. I'm like, okay, he's wanting something. Yeah, the skeptic in me. He says, I want to thank you. He says, I've been dealing with PTSD for 8 years. I've gone to therapists. I've gone to doctors. I've gone to everybody I know to go to. But in your lesson, you told me something. And I sat down that afternoon and cried out to God. Take this from me. He said in the last 3 weeks, he's felt more peace in his life than he had in 8. He said, that wasn't me. That was the Holy Spirit working on you. You gave it to God. Please be careful, as we all want to do. We say we give it to God, but if it doesn't happen in our time, then we want to take it back. I said, don't lose your peace. Give it to God and let him have it. Now, I didn't know where that man was before. I don't know where he is theologically now. But I know he's got a greater trust in God than he's probably had in many years in his life. It wasn't my words. They came out of my mouth. But it was the word of God that convicted him. So I ask you, what do you need? And as you seek those needs, you were open your heart and be honest with yourself. What do you need? Give it to God. God will put the person in this church that needs to be here. And he will be prepared to preach the word, ready in season and out. Let us close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, how we do again. Thank you for this time. Lord, be with this church and with the pulpit committee as they seek out the next man. Keep us confident in knowing that person is here. We don't know when. We don't know from where. But we know, Lord, that you are faithful to your people. As we choose the next minister, may our hearts and his heart be true to your word. Bless us, Lord. And thank you for your written word as our guidance. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You will open up your hymnals to hymn number 115. Wonderful words of life. Let us stand singing.